Well, I'm sure you are familiar with the old proverb that says there are two certainties in life. It's probably one of the most used, or certainly in the mid half of the 20th century, it was the most used theme for after dinner speeches. There are two certainties in life, death and taxes. Of course, those speeches never dwelt on death much because those speeches were to be uplifting, so they always dwelt on taxes. And if we're all honest, none of us really like taxes. Who has a shiver going down their spine when they see something coming in from Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs? I know mine does whenever I see it coming in, wondering and hoping, have I paid too much? And they're telling me that they're going to give me some money back. Or more likely, they've made a mistake and I have to pay more. Taxes are a certainty in life, and we know it. And whether we like it or not, we accept what they do. I can remember at the age of 19 getting my first payslip. And the payslip, if you've ever had one, you know on the left is the good news and on the right is the bad news. And I focused on the left and I thought, my goodness, look what I can do with this money. And now you have to remember, this is back in the late 1990s and the early noughties. And I was thinking, DVDs, CDs, you know, money put aside for a car. This was great. And then you look across to the not so good side. PAYE, whatever your tax band is, whatever your pension would be. And of course, as a 20-year-old, you never think of your pension and the value of your pension at that point. The good news and the bad news. But even as we see that minus going against what we thought was ours, and with getting littler in our bank accounts, we know the value of why we pay taxes. The end point of our National Health Service, of which we've been very thankful and grateful for, particularly in this year, as well as any experience you may have had of thankfulness for that health service. Our education, free. Our water here in Northern Ireland, free. As well as rates that we might pay on our houses, value added tax, duty on fuel, whatever it may be, it all goes for the benefit, we believe and we trust, of society. And of course, as we've seen in our Bible passage today, taxes, the issue of taxes, were no different in Jesus' day. In fact, our passage tells us just how divisive, the taxes were. It was used here by the religious leaders wanting to divide people even more when it came to thinking about Jesus. But before we get into the passage, I very quickly, just in a minute or two, want to remind you of where we are. We're in Holy Week. I showed you this table before. We're not going to go through it, but that's just to remind you of the journey we're on for this third, this one-third of Mark's Gospel, starting on Palm Sunday and going right through to Resurrection Day. We're still in Tuesday. That bottom line there in Tuesday where Jesus is teaching, that's where we picked up the last time 2 weeks ago, the question of Jesus' authority being challenged. So we're still on the Tuesday. They've seen the withered fig tree telling just how rotten to the core the religious system had become. Then Jesus challenged of whose his authority comes from. And now today, we see in our text the attempted trap that is set for Jesus regarding paying taxes to Caesar. The one thing to say is that in this section from Mark 11:27 to Mark 12:44, it's a set of opposition. So opposition is going on here from the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin consisted of three major groups, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. And we're going to see each one of these having their go at Jesus. The Pharisees on the question of taxation today. Next week, the Sadducees on the question of the resurrection. And then the scribes in verses 28 to 44 with the question of scriptural interpretation. Each one, by the way, showing us what their heart issue was for their group. But together, these three groups of people made up the ruling council of the Sanhedrin over the Jews. In each of the stories, it's important that we see that Jesus is addressed as teacher. So they recognize there's something different about him. But also in each story, Jesus demonstrates his authority to be able to teach. If they're going to call him teacher, well, he's going to show them and prove to them the authority that he has. And by the way, this is what Mark has been showing us right from the baptism of Jesus in chapter 1. Mark has been showing us the authority that Jesus has. Well, the first detail that we see here in our passage is that the Pharisees are not on their own. They come with a group of people who are called the Herodians. And we know very little about this group and who they are, but based on their name, we know that they are supporters of Herod. And the Jewish historian Josephus tells us that Herod supported and favored certain aspects of Jewish society. He supported the aspects of Jewish society that made him comfortable, that ensured his rule. So it probably was the wealthier who paid taxes, which then would keep the Romans happy to see that this system was working well, and thereby they could keep Herod in place on his throne. But there are also people who benefited from Herod's rule. Politically, Herod being the one in between the Romans and them, so that their upper class style of life would continue. And what's interesting is, even though that these two are not natural allies, the Pharisees were dogmatic about religious purity. The Herodians, it seems, were dogmatic.